Let's hear the word of God together. Proverbs 16, verse 24 says this, "Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body." So tonight we want to consider wisdom and words. So we've gone through Proverbs, maybe the first 8 or 9 chapters. We went through verse by verse, and now for the remainder of Proverbs, we're picking up on some of the themes and maybe pulling together not all, but most or some of the needed verses to give us a bit of what it says about that particular subject. So tonight, wisdom and words. You know the saying from when you were a child, "Sticks and stones may break my bones, but words shall never hurt me." We know that's not true, right? Usually we don't get hit with sticks and stones, but we get hit pretty good. And probably most of us still have some shrapnel from some grade school play yard words that were said. Those words do hurt. And so I think the opposite of that little childhood phrase is more true. Broken bones shall heal and mend, but words will hurt until the end. Isn't that a more true statement than the latter? Well, the power of the tongue is something we ought to consider biblically. And I would guess that we know what the book of James says very well from chapter 3. I think we heard of it Wednesday night when we talked about how we should live towards outsiders from Colossians chapter 4, verse 6, maybe. But we also read, I think, on Wednesday night, James chapter 3, which says we do two things with our tongue. We bless God, who is the Lord and Father, and with the same lips, the same tongue, we turn and we curse men who are made in God's image. So I would think that every one of us knows deep down our misuse of the tongue. Deep down, we know where we have been hurt by another's words. And we know that we have much work to do in order to use our tongues for righteousness and not for wickedness. So think for just a moment, if you will, with me about the positive use of the tongue. And then I'm not going to say negative use of the tongue. I'm going to say the destructive use of the tongue. The positive use of the tongue in the book of Proverbs is a fountain of life. The positive use of the tongue in the Proverbs is a honeycomb. It's choice silver. It's encouragement. It is spoken or fitly placed words in season or appropriate words. In chapter 10 of Proverbs, verse 11, it says this, "The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life, but the mouth of the wicked conceals violence." Then if you skip over to verse 20 of chapter 10, it says, "The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, and the heart of the wicked is of little worth." There's a number of things that could be said in light of wisdom and words and the power of words, the positive power of words. We'll say a few more in a few minutes, but let's think for a moment about the negative use of words. Chapter 12, verse 22 speaks of lies. Chapter 12, 22 says, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord." Elsewhere, it says there's like 6, 7, 8 things the Lord hates. And one of those 6, 7, 8 things the Lord hates are lying tongues. So a destructive use of the tongue is lying. Or in chapter 17, verse 9, you have gossip. Chapter 17, verse 9 says, "Whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends." So you have lying and gossip. You also have slander. In chapter 10, verse 18, you can flip along if you like or just listen. It speaks of slander. "The one who conceals hatred has lying lips. Whoever utters slander is a fool." And then we have flattery in chapter 26, verse 28. Flattery, not encouragement or kind words, but flattery in order to get something for another. 26:28 says, "A lying tongue hates its victims, and a flattering mouth works ruin." And then finally, one last destructive trait of words is curses or cursing. Chapter 30, verse 10. "Do not slander a servant to his master, lest he curse you and be held guilty." So we want to think a bit about the power of the tongue. We want to think a little bit about the use of our words. And we could think of this not just in the positive or the destructive comparison, but think about your words for prayer. Think about your speech, just your everyday talk. Think about your words and relationships. But importantly, think about your words and your heart. Proverbs 4:23 says, "Guard your heart, for out of it flows the springs of life." So where do your words come from, whether they're positive or destructive? They come right out of the heart. In fact, Jesus says, from out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you want to know what's in here. A good litmus test is what comes out of this hole on the front of your face that gets you into lots of trouble. James chapter 3, verse 9, as we've mentioned, says that with our lips we bless God, who is Lord and Father, and we curse man who's made in his image. And so we ought to think a lot about how we feed and nourish our hearts, our thoughts, and our motives, because those lead to right actions. Think for a moment about prayer. Prayer, we offer up unto God the desires of our heart for things agreeable to his will. We don't want to pray for things that aren't in line with godliness, that aren't in line with holiness, that aren't in line with God's work in the world. But our prayers ought to be full of adoration and confession and thanksgiving and supplications. We ought to seek first the kingdom of God, loving what God loves, knowing that we pray out of a new heart, a changed heart, a new creation. Think about where our tongues get their sources. James, I think, says something about we can have fresh water flow from our mouth and we can have salt water flow, but the two can't be mixed. And so we want to strive for godliness in our lives, not have our tongues set on fire by the fires of hell, but to have our tongues bring the words and the praises from heaven. We ought to use our tongues also to encourage our neighbor, to do good to others, to speak well. Remember the ninth commandment, you shall not bear false witness. We ought to not do any injury to another or their good name. Ephesians 4:29 also reminds us that we ought to let no unwholesome talk come out of our mouths. And so we live in a world of spin. We live in a world that bends the truth. We live in a world that exaggerates. We live in a world where discouragement and degradation and tearing down and criticism and gossip and slander, coarse words, slang language, and wasted words are the norm. And so you've heard the phrase before, we've got to steal back our language, steal back our words. So just a couple practical things. First, before you speak, think about what is true, what is helpful, what is inspiring, what is necessary, and what is kind. We've got a little method to our madness with prayer, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. What does that spell? A-C-T-S, Acts. Okay, so think. T is for true, H is for helpful, I is for inspiring, N is for necessary, and K is for kind. Are the things about to come out of your mouth true, helpful, inspiring, necessary, and kind? Think also about the proper use of language. We are logical beings made with reason and rationality. We're made in the image of God. Think about words these days. Slang and texties. I got an email back from somebody who's a good bit older than me, and it said TY, which I interpreted to be thank you. I couldn't figure out anything else it meant. But we live in a texting world, but we need to use language properly. Or maybe as your English teacher or your mother said, don't destroy the Queen's English, right? We want to use logic and cogency and truth in what we say. Maybe a third practical thing to think about is manners. COVID has really wrecked manners. We're not looking people in the eye. We're not getting in their space anymore. We're not shaking hands or hugging or given the right hand of Christian fellowship, those kinds of things. But we ought to say hello and goodbye and call people by name. Some of you met John today. He's the retired minister from Christ Community in Greensboro. John is probably one of the most outgoing people I know. And when you go into a restaurant with him, he looks for name tags. And so when you sit down to eat with him, he becomes the dominant person at the table, and he says to the person by name, "Hello, how are you? My name is John." And I'm thankful that you're doing your job today, taking care of us. And right then and there, you're going to get some really good service. But it's kindness, it's manners, it's hello and goodbye. It's asking people their name and their interest. So often we encounter people and it's, hey, or the nod. How about those Tar Heels? Or we spill our guts because we want everybody to know everything about us because we have incurvitis. Is that the word? We're curved inwardly. A fourth thing, practical thing, use the scriptures in your language. We all know a lot of useless facts. I mean, I bet most of y'all know how many times Tom Brady has been in the Super Bowl. Maybe this crowd doesn't. It's 10. But that's a useless fact, isn't it? It's unhelpful info. Opinions we all live by. But use the scriptures. When somebody asks you for help, speak the truth. Speak the scriptures to them. Another couple things to think about. A fool is considered wise when what? He keeps his mouth shut. So words sometimes is good, but when else, what other activity with our mouth might be good? Keep it shut. Shut the trap, as we say. A fool is considered wise when he keeps silent. Or this is one of my favorites. This one gets tossed around our household sometimes. For lack of wood, the fire goes out. All right, that's a good one. Or a proverb that I think is very convicting to me and hopefully to many others. Where words are many, sin is not absent. So talk equals what? Sin, most likely. Another practical way to think about our words is to gather data, to listen, and maybe even, if necessary, pray and then speak. Then enter into the conversation. It's good to speak the truth in love and to have our words seasoned with grace for others. And why is all this true? Well, it's because of this. God himself is truth. And God, who can never lie, speaks only truth. And so when we open the Bible and we read the words, when we hear the promises and we see God's threatenings and his graces, we can take him at his word. What God says, he will do. What he says is trustworthy. He means what he says. But the devil, on the opposite, speaks lies. In fact, he's the father of lies. He's the source of lies. James says that when we have a wicked tongue, an evil tongue, a destructive tongue, it is not from the graces of heaven, but it is set on fire by the fires of hell. And remember what plunged Adam and Eve into sin, plunged mankind into sin. It was Satan coming and telling a big fat one, right? A big lie. Did God really say? And so that first lie led Adam and Eve into sin. But we remember what James, the half-brother of Jesus, says, the truth will set you free. And so we take great heart in our use of words from God himself, but also who through his son, the Lord Jesus, who is the way. But what's that second thing he is? The truth. And he is the life. And we remember also that every idle word we will be held accountable for. And so we want to have redeemed mouths, redeemed lips, redeemed tongues, speech seasoned with salt, because that's what's pleasing to God and what's good also for our neighbor. So we'll think on these things and pray that God might bless us. Pray with me. Lord, we pray that you would touch our lips like you did Isaiah. They are unclean. Lord, our lips are full of fresh water, praising you and saying kind things at times, but they're full of salt water as well. And as your scripture tells us, this cannot be so. So redeem our mouths, redeem our speech, redeem our hearts, and give us lips that praise you and serve others. And we do not ask idly for this to be so, but we do want it with all our heart, for we want to be outposts of heaven and not agents of Satan himself. So help us, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. All right, let's respond to God's word. We'll stand and sing 159, Abide With Me, Fast Falls the Eventide.